Have a quorum today, and I am Wendy Engler, your fearless chair. So let's get started, and I'll call the meeting to order. I think everybody has a draft of the minutes from August 2nd. Are there any comments, changes? I need those to be approved, so
I motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. In terms of old business, we have Mike and the wayfinding map. You were going to provide cost estimates for posting the wayfinding maps.
Okay, and actually, Ken has some of that information, hopefully, because he's the one I went to for blanks. And it, my notes talked about cost of getting blanks done in that size.
So right.
He's getting that. I know the cost of for mounting them on what I would go with is square steel powder coated posts. You know, those are about $50 a piece. Hardware and so on, but the cost of the maps. I don't have that until Ken gets here.
Okay. And did we figure out how many you're just going to replace them at first, aren't you? And then put up new ones?
Well, yeah, I think the plan was to, we have 12 that are installed now.
Oh, of the new ones that you already installed?
Of the existing 12 placements
of wayfinding maps.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Period.
They're existing already, right? Yeah. 12 existing.
Okay. 12 existing installed right now.
Oh, okay.
I think the plan calls for 3 in South Beach. So he's planning an initial printing of 15. And then, because I don't think we had decided on any specific additional ones, but we've talked about it.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be really good to have one in Nye Beach where we've done the landscaping. The trellis will not be going in there, so it could come right up to the sidewalk and the public right away.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about specifically where?
It's right across from the arch, just east of the arch.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's some public space there.
Probably just depending on the way you face it.
Well, it'll have to face the wrong way. That's just the way it is. Let's just say, you can put it out in the middle, I suppose. Could do that, put it in the area itself with something on the other side. What is usually on the back side of those maps?
There's a star and a notation that there's a map on the other side.
Okay. Yeah, in my mind, I thought I was seeing this star. I'm thinking, that's weird. But that's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like a compass star or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe one side could be the wayfinding, the other side could be an evacuation map.
Oh, that'd be a good idea.
That'd be sweet.
That'd be a really good idea.
Yeah.
Are those going to be done? Those going to be done the same way? That would be great.
Well, down
there.
Nye Beach.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Now, is that something the wayfinding?
That depends on how you mount the sign, because the existing sign things, posts, I don't know what you call it, are a really pretty elaborate affair, which is why they went under a contract and were acquired through a vendor. So there's that, and that's the ones that have the star in the back, because the signs are held on the sides. But Mike is talking about if we have other locations that we want to do, and we don't want to go quite that elaborate, as we'd use another coated black post, that would be right in the middle of your map on the back side.
Oh, it's
so you wouldn't really have a yes.
Right.
Okay, I didn't know.
It's a real simple installation with a single post.
Is one post going to be sturdy enough with the wind? Because that's like a big kite.
Yeah, I've got some of those.
That are that large?
Yeah.
It's not a very
if
big
we
sign.
Wanted to put two of those posts on instead.
Let's stand next to a stop sign sometime.
Could you?
I know. I see them fly in my place.
Is there some way you could mount the evacuation map on that same pole or put screws in it or something? I mean, it'd be kind of in the way, I guess. But
well, you could mount you could mount each sign back to back, or you have literally two signs, not on the same panel, but two
signs.
Yeah.
Is there a plan to do
weight,
that?
More weight, but not any more wind loading.
Yeah.
Mm. You could also, you know, mount those where you get, you know, more where you need them. So those spots may not match.
Does Mark, you know, have a car?
Exactly. In some cases, they may. You know,
can you put two of those inexpensive posts on each side or not?
It's
not as attractive.
It's more,
or not as
well,
that's a challenging alignment issue. Yeah. They're not really made to do that.
Okay.
I mean, you could, but
yeah, it gets awkward when you do that.
Usually, the only time you see that is in the really big highway signs.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're talking signs like the size of this table stop.
So when you do the tsunami evacuation map, if it is that a plan to mount those, or did that just get spoken right here?
We have
first time
informational sign locations that were printed out about where it would be helpful to have that,
but not the actual sign map itself.
There's not really been any discussion about where to mount the evacuation route maps themselves. That was not really a discussion that was.
Well, that would be a really good location for us
in
Nye Beach.
Talk about it out in Nye Beach with going up 3rd Street or this or that.
The question on that, would the city pay for those signs if we asked to have one put in Nye Beach, or would that be the parking district?
Seems to be a parking district.
Yeah, I'd go back to the parking district.
Okay. And I know we have funding for that.
And do we know, how much would that be?
Well, they're waiting for the cost from Ken on the sign itself. Mm-hmm.
Well, we've never had it produced in the fashion that we would mount it on a sign before.
Well, the one for the Newport sign.
No, the evacuation signs now. We keep switching subjects. So the evacuation maps, we've never had those produced in a fashion that they could be mounted on a sign. They're paper maps at this point. And so he would have to take that into his system and do whatever rendering he does, and then they would end up getting printed on a similar type of screening material that the wayfinding maps are.
And I was shifting back to the City of Newport map, which Ken hasn't given a price on yet, so we don't know on that one. Probably, you think, under $500 for the whole thing?
You know, gave us a price to print out each map.
Yeah.
And it was like $70 or $60 or something like that.
That's not the backing, though, is it? Is that
just the printing of the map?
So then you still have to pay for the blank, the big blank.
Well, shifting gears here again, we originally did this for the purpose of replacing the existing maps, not for going out and producing new locations. Mm-hmm. And so the intent was to take those maps that he created and add an adhesive backing to it, and we simply put them over the top of the old maps.
Okay,
so that's that's how it started. Yeah. Now we're kind of going to that next step and saying, okay, maybe we want to put these in other locations, but you know, we haven't figured out if we want to mount them on existing or on decorative signposts like the other maps are, or go simpler. So the production, or the maps that he's producing, $60 sticks in my head.
Okay.
I think it's not even quite that much, but it's not very expensive to print each one now that he's got it set up.
Mm-hmm.
The intention of which was to go out and replace the existing maps that are out there with updated ones.
Well, I know I would really be interested in an estimate for the sign as we have with the star on the back. I'd like to see that in Nye Beach rather than the post in the back, so it was attractive.
Well, and I think would be probably the same thing, but it would be required to be mounted by us or have him manufacture one.
He thought he was going to provide an estimate for
just the
Cadillac version of having a routed board that actually matched the outline of the sign.
Well, we'll ask.
Yeah. Here he is.
The
Hi,
shape
Ken.
Of the blank is one thing, but the mounting
is
different.
Hardware is another. The single post is probably total of all support parts, $75. The way those current ones that are installed are mounted.
Mm-hmm.
We could go back and pull up the old quote.
It would probably make me faint to see what the quote is.
Probably thousands per installation.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Well, way more.
Ken, do you have an agenda there?
I do.
Oh, okay, good. Well, we're on the item old business wayfinding map and the cost estimates.
Okay.
So,
I think I sent over the price of the maps, but I think the maps are $110, if I recall. And then I was talking with Mike, and I got some pricing for the plywood and aluminum blanks, So I didn't know if you, are you ready for that part of it?
I think we are, because that's...
Because you were just talking about...
The answers I couldn't give.
Yeah, you were talking about mountings and posts and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So you got that.
Yeah.
Well, Ken, for clarification, $110 for the map that would replace the existing maps that we have. We take them, we go out, and we put them up. Some right over the old map. That's what we're talking about.
That's correct. And that's just for... we were going to do 15 printed maps. That's printed, laminated, ready to go over. There's an additional cost that we've already done to make all those changes to the maps.
Yep.
But that price is just for printing the maps.
Got it. Okay.
So what I figured for...
Have you been paid for your initial work yet?
I haven't.
Did you submit an invoice to us yet?
I haven't.
You haven't, okay.
Yeah. I was waiting to see if there was anything final, but I think with this last one, and I think Frank did a final once over, make sure there was, we were good to go. I think we're ready to submit that. So.
Okay. Send it to my attention if you would, please.
Yeah, I have it too. So for plywood, if that were to be an option, just to have it as, out there, and to make it last, what I figured was a 26 by 60, which would come out of a 4 by 10, was the best I could find. I couldn't find 5 by 10 MDO anywhere. So we're just getting two out of a sheet. With an epoxied edge and a primed and painted black, those they would be $129 a piece. So you're looking at $774 for the six of them. That's what we were talking about, needing about six.
But that's just for the board. We would, and then on top of that is the map that we would print.
That's correct.
This is looking about $230 a piece then for this map board.
Right. Right. Yeah, this is just separate from
$300 from the maps. If you did it with a square post, according to Mike, that's about what a total cost of a unit would be then. So you got the board, the map, the mount.
So if we went with aluminum, I wasn't sure on, I forgot to ask you about thickness, so I priced it on 3/16 or 1/4 inch. That'd cover us for on the posts. I suppose it could be lighter on the walls. If there were anything that was going flat. Mm-hmm. For 3/16, a cut N-shaped blank powder coated black was $245. And the 1/4 inch would be $289. So
about $100 more than the plywood then.
Yeah.
Well worth it as far as I'm concerned. What's the difference in weight?
Probably, I figured on 1/2 inch plywood, so it's perhaps a little bit heavier, but...
The aluminum, it'll be lighter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of depends on...
Push it 1/4 inch.
On a few things, but yeah, when you get up to that size, it gets...
It does get heavy.
Kind of heavy, so mm-hmm. Like I said, the aluminum might be a little bit heavier than the plywood. Especially if it stays sealed and that doesn't.
This longevity, though, is.
It's.
Like for.
It's 10 times probably, whereas it's, maybe twice the price, but it's. Right. You're not going to have to be replacing it. So, yeah, there is that value.
I think I've ever seen 1/2 inch plywood used in signage control or sign making before. I think because of the warping. I think that's why the state uses 3/4 ply, because at that size they start to warp. Has that been your experience? Have you done anything that's big before?
On that size, 3/4, if you're putting on a single post, it's probably the better way to do it. Flat on a wall, it's not an issue. I'm pretty sure I can find it in 3/4. That's all they had available. But it's not much more. It's just a little bit more, I think, for the 3/4. But still,
that's when the plywood gets more heavier than the aluminum.
Probably would be.
Any of those state signs that we've gotten ended up on in our hands.
And it's a certain weight when it's dry, and it's a certain weight.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean by, you know,
it's like it doesn't grow on the
ground. We prime it and paint it and try and seal those edges so that it's going to stay, you know, around longer. But even so, you know, the aluminum is by far the best bet.
And the plan would be then you could just, would you peel off an old map and then stick the new one on the aluminum? Well, I'm sure you would the plywood too, but it's hard for me to imagine that plywood's not going to just have moisture problems.
Eventually will.
Yeah.
You know, they all do. And what I tell customers of mine when I'm selling them, you know, they want a wood sign, that if they keep the edges sealed, you know, it's going to last a lot longer, but nobody does that. Nobody goes back and seals, caulks the edges or anything year after year. So.
Mm-hmm.
And they last a long time if the right conditions, but sometimes they're getting a lot of wet or a lot of sun or, you know, a lot of damp, you know, in the shade or something.
Oh, they're in Newport, you mean?
Yeah, like anywhere here, right.
You ought to add that to your business plan.
What's that? Yeah.
Annual edge trimming.
Yeah.
If you had time.
Yeah.
So the aluminum's just about $100 more?
$160.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's...
$129 to $289.
And that $129, if we went
that's
with
the
three-quarter...
That's for the skinny stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a little bit more, but...
So the budget... Do people want to make a decision now? It seems like we need to make a decision.
Do we have locations for those six signs?
Okay. I wouldn't even blank. Yeah. I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't touch a plywood sign and
mm-hmm.
wouldn't touch
okay.
a pole.
So we'll just look aesthetically.
Stand up, walk up and down Highway 101 and look at the ODOT plywood signs and then take a look at the aluminum plated signs that we have and you'd say the same thing.
The paint would go away before the sign would.
Well, just like Ken was saying, if we went out and sealed the edges on that sign every year,
well,
it's not going to happen.
The main reason to sell plywood signs to people is really the cost. You know, everybody wants, you know,
$100, $160 more. So it's not even a consideration at that cost.
You know? Plus, you can update it. You know, later on down the way, if you need something, you can totally go right over that aluminum sign where you can't really plywood.
So would you clarify where we are so when we do vote? We're
and I wanted to ask, Tim, is the wayfinding budget in your overall budget? And then you get, okay, and then you also get some visitor and room tax funds, don't you, that you don't?
There's a wayfinding sign committee budget, period.
Oh.
And that is?
That's funded through room tax.
Okay.
I mean, that's where that money comes from.
Uh-huh, okay. All right, so what we are going to vote on, or what, as far as the signs go, we need to get them installed. We have an estimate for the blanks.
Wait, I can go and actually look and see how much that is, because I don't remember.
Okay. We'll clarify what we're voting on.
If I would like to buy one to place at my business, I can do that at my expense.
I think we decided that last time that was okay.
Because I would like... Yeah, I want one on aluminum, and because I can put it on the building itself, I think I could find a place on my building. It faces the right direction, so people orient the correct way.
Yeah, if you're, because it's typically orients north, right? So mm-hmm. as you look at the map.
I think I have a wall that it will work on.
I mean, the maps in place are actually probably facing all different directions. They're just facing
It's a good location.
Yeah.
For visibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wouldn't put it down in my parking strip. I'd put it on a building.
Yeah. Is that an issue? The orientation? That's not really, is
not
it?
Really.
Not really. I think it's more confusing. You know, most maps that you see, if you're looking at a map, everything's, you know, I mean, even Google, you know, it's oriented north, mm-hmm. and if you're heading south, you know, I don't know that I've ever seen, or very few occasions do I see it flipped over
the other way.
Go the other way. I mean, it's just confusing.
Mm-hmm. There's $10,000 in that budget this year.
Oh, okay. So we're going to use aluminum for the backing and the pole also. Is that, we need to decide for any new signs? We could use a pole or go out for bid and a fancy sign. And if somebody wants to make a motion, you can include the pole.
Well, I missed the part about the pole, but
it'll be about $1,300 to print the signs to replace the existing ones.
Oh, okay.
Right, we have about a dozen signs at $110 a piece, $120.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The 110?
110.
Okay, so that would be what? 12.
Yeah. 14.
About $1,200, okay. Somewhere in that range, roughly. My mental math is not good enough to do 110 times 12. Somebody else can do that.
But you're an engineer.
That's why I have a calculator.
It's Friday, too.
Yeah. Anyway, Ken, yeah, we talked about
1320.
We talked about using a pole because it was so much less money.
Square tube, is that what you were thinking?
Yeah.
You know, okay. And you know, to dress that up a little bit, to have that powder coated black, you know, would be
right. And that's that $50 figure that I, you know, round figure is powder coated.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would work well. It's really would hold up well. I don't have a problem with that part of it.
Do those come powder coated, or is that a separate?
I think they probably come galvanized, don't they?
I mean, I can order them from Traffic Safety powder coated.
Okay.
But I'm sure they send them out. Have them powder coated someplace and send them down to me. So it takes a little while to get them.
Yeah.
But the cost is still at that 110.
Well, 110 is to print the.
Oh, for the maps. Yeah,
to print the maps.
I don't know what the.
It's about $50 or so for the last time I bought powder coated square posts.
Yeah.
So did you see the cost of the aluminum sign? 3/16 less.
If we want the 3/16, so 245.
So 245 plus 110. Is 355
plus 50.
So we're talking about $400 in installation.
Right.
So keep that $400 on installation, $425, probably in that range, in installation in your head when you think about plumping one of these in somewhere else, the total cost.
Okay. And then can they be produced individually for that cost? Can when we want, like, we discover a new spot, we need one? And then we order up a sign from you. Can you print an individual one at 110, or would it?
Yes,
be?
As far as the maps go, yes, I can do that. I was just thinking of producing the blanks.
Cost of aluminum is ever changing, so probably going to be related to what the cost is the day you.
Is it worthwhile to order a number of those blanks and just have them in stock in our sign shop? So as an installation comes up, we order them in bulk ahead of time. It's there. You print out the map, you plunk it on there, and you put it up. Does that make sense? That's a question.
If you anticipate that we might be doing some more.
Yeah, I'm not talking tons, but, you know, order 10 of them.
You know, or something. That's what I preach all the time in terms of the stuff I can do in my shop.
Yeah.
If I have the materials, I can respond really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to do the same thing here.
Whatever you want.
Just because it's hard to get
stuff
here.
If I don't, then I've got to sit and wait for stuff to come in.
So getting to that, needing some more. We're talking about 12 signs that need to be replaced.
12 signs that are existing that need to be replaced.
Okay, that's something else, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's 12 existing wayfinding sign maps.
Oh, these
are
the
tsunami
signs.
That need to have new map printed and be put up under existing standards.
I talked about
that. And now we're into the conversation about, I believe in South Beach, the plan was to put up another three signs.
Three, I think is what it's
called. And the $10,000 that was hauled away in the budget this year was initially intended to install the South Beach signs. Okay, now we can install a heck of a lot more signs than that if you don't use the decorative standards. So, and that's kind of where we're at here.
And then could the Nye Beach sign be funded then by our budget?
Wayfinding sign committee can fund their wayfinding signs wherever they want to.
Okay, so I think we're ready for a motion. About the aluminum backing, the map, and the post. And then how about including the new wayfinding signs? I don't know. Anyway, that could be in the motion.
May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
I would make a decision based on, yes, we're ready to go ahead and print the new wayfinding sign map, just in and of itself.
Okay.
We approved it. It's good to go. Print it. We'll get them ripped out and replace the existing signs that are out there. Okay, so there's
okay.
one.
All right.
Two would be, yes, we, in general, for future installations of wayfinding signs, we want to use a 3/16 aluminum backing with our sign and a powder-coated square tube post. So that's another just decision in general.
Right.
This is a standard we're going to use but moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a third decision, and that is you have some ideas on where you want to place these. You know, in South Beach, do you want to go ahead with the process of acquiring the decorative posts like we've done before, or would you rather use these? And that's kind of where the conversation would go. But we can get some of the other junk out of the way and move forward with getting the maps replaced. You got a standard in place, and veterinary way.
I believe the last meeting we okayed producing the 15. And the only reason they're not done yet, Mark was on vacation, but also I'm getting a brand new printer installed today, so I wanted to print them on that printer.
Okay, so that decision's already been made?
I believe so.
So read through here and see.
So then, why don't we just follow Tim's advice and do the first one, which is the getting those wayfinding signs?
Yes. Would somebody like to make a motion?
I so move.
Second?
Second.
Those in favor of going ahead and with printing the wayfinding signs? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Then do you think it's better to wait till next time to talk about the aluminum backing and all that, or?
Not really.
Okay.
I have only one question, though, and that was because Tim's idea of stockpiling. Do you keep that in stock?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No.
So there's no value in counting on you when we needed them?
Not for this
this okay.
sort of thing, no.
So I mean, then is that your recommendation, 10?
Yeah, I'd probably pick up at least 10 of the blanks.
Mm-hmm. 10 additional?
Not a ridiculous number, and then whatever the installations, 10 total. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we talked about 3 down in South Beach potentially, okay, potentially in South Beach. And one potentially in I Beach. And so you'd have 6 left for other locations in the future if you want to
build
a building
or
something
yeah.
else. I would recommend going and doing the square steel tubes in South Beach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the decorative, really cool signs are cool. Man, I'd leave those in, you know, the Bayfront and in I Beach where you got the scores of people all the time. That's not the case in South Beach because you can always take it out and replace it in the future if you want to. And this is a very mm-hmm. minimal cost and can be done very quickly. That's what's nice about it. We can get those put up as soon as we get the materials and keep me from having to go through a very long and convoluted process of acquiring those because it was never straightforward.
Yeah. Took years, I think.
You know, because that's the thing. You can put them up and if you don't like it and you want something better, we'll take them down, put a better one up, and the sign's not wasted. We put it mm-hmm. in a different location.
Mm-hmm. Did we okay. have special funding to spend that kind of money on the first original signs? Was there like
oh, yeah.
was a huge wayfinding
budget? They put
yeah.
a lot of money into these wayfinding signs.
Yeah.
Yeah, every year yeah. there's a new amount budgeted for adding kind of the next phase based on the wayfinding sign mm-hmm. plan that was originally drafted.
Yeah.
Now keep in mind, you know, you don't want to shoot the whole charge here right out of the gate because I think that the Wayfinding Sign Committee was looking at different signs around town
there's,
for
yeah,
wayfinding
well, that's,
itself.
Yeah.
And that's where those dollars come in too. So the cheaper you can make getting these maps replaced, the more money that's left for doing some of that other signage. And again, you're going to be probably less than the $400 in installation or somewhere in that range for these different signs that go up all around town for wayfinding and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because the post is the same and the blank could probably be less because it's not as big. But then I think you probably can produce some of those with your printer, depending on what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can hopefully keep our costs down to some
especially
level.
For open
on wayfinding around the town, you know, a directional sign here, like the one that Mike put up at the beach recently.
Yeah. Okay. So I need a motion about the second motion about the materials.
So
we're going to use them.
I would make a motion that we purchase enough aluminum sign blank for 10 signs.
Right.
And posts.
That's what we're looking at.
So do we also stockpile the posts?
Mm-hmm.
Mike, how many do you have in stock now?
No, I'm not certain if I have any black ones in stock now.
Maybe we should order
some. So do the same thing.
I do. I have a handful, so.
Yeah.
So also order 10. Of the post powder coated, ready to go.
I think that would be a smart idea. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Brian? Okay, those in favor?
So let's discuss a little further. So is that the only cost that we're approving, is just the poles and the blanks? Or is there other?
And then on a case-by-case basis, you could approve printing the signs.
Oh, okay. So this is sufficient for this motion?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
As you get into specific locations, we can say, we want to have a sign printed and put in here. Mm-hmm. And then you do that on each instance, I would think.
Yeah, and then your pay is minimal.
Yeah, and that price, I'll keep that price the same, even though we're not printing multiples.
In the year 2050, you're going to regret that decision.
We'll have more printing.
I'm going
to do a few
rebates. I'll at the end of the year when I'm doing my taxes, and look at what I donated.
Okay, those in favor of the aluminum backing and post stockpiling, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Then in terms of current signs, are we ready to approve those ones in South Beach or the one at the arch in Nye Beach?
Can you tell me exactly where those are supposed to go? I'm not familiar enough.
In South Beach? I don't know.
I think that's Chuck.
Yeah, that
definitely something was by the Rogue underneath the bridge, right? There was a place. There was supposed to be some follow up with
state parks.
Yeah, somebody from the state park. So
I think we have to wait till Tim to talk to Tim about that.
I know. So. Yeah.
I think jurisdiction changes as you get to the bridge.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of players that get involved.
There was, but they said that we could do whatever. I remember
state
parks. Oh, okay.
Not on the road. One of the guys. ODOT underneath the bridge.
Okay.
They might think they do, but they don't, because it's under ODOT jurisdiction.
There we go.
And anything that falls in the ODOT right away would have to be done by permit with ODOT, which is very straightforward.
Yeah.
You start getting down the road, going down to the jetty, that's state park.
Well, and that there was one down the, I believe, down the jetty, because Chuck kept saying that, oh, do you have one?
Got it.
I have it here.
Awesome.
They're the red ones. One is at South Beach Marina.
Yeah.
Okay. Two are in the Oregon Coast Aquarium. That's where they hit.
Oh, well, I thought he talked about down, because there was a natural congregation of people going down the jetty so that they could see the different things. Maybe that was part of the bike discussion. See, I was never real clear.
I see all kinds of people driving.
That may have been Chuck's.
Oh, they do.
I see very, very few people walking down the jetty. Not till they get to the end.
Yeah, down at the other end.
Yeah.
That's why underneath it was
one
something
by the
about
brewery, though. There should
I'd
be
stick
one.
To your trails, mm-hmm. frankly. Yeah.
So there would be an increase of one out there, but one by the Rogue Brewery where the restrooms are, and there's that little walk. Oh, there's a nice path for biking and walking.
You may actually want to go and take a little field trip and plunk a little stake in where you want.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Maybe Chuck could go along, too.
Because I know he wanted one over here. That's where the... Mm-hmm.
At the marina?
Yeah. And that's where you... I don't know what you call it. The dump thingy for the drugs. Mm-hmm. For the RVs.
Because if you put one by the Royal Brewery and by you, you guys walk out to the jetties, go on that way anyway. Mm-hmm.
Well, do I hear a motion, or do you want to wait till the next meeting?
On the South Beach signing?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk to Chuck.
You think?
Well, the minutes should at least show that we're deferring it to, just so it comes up again.
Put it on the agenda next month.
Yeah. And we can check to see if we did that.
With the possibility of an addition of a fourth sign.
I have a request then. So when you decide exactly on the location, it would be really helpful to take a little stake and put it in the ground, put sign here and take a digital picture of it, bring it with you next time. Okay. Because it'll be gone by the time we get back out there to put the sign up. And then we have a very specific location that we can call and locate and do an installation.
Okay. Can we also then put on the agenda for next time a location for one in Nye Beach?
Yes. Okay. And I'll do the same thing there.
Okay.
And then it's relatively straightforward to get them printed, the materials are ordered, and we'll get them put up.
Cool.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay. So Bob has that.
Easy, right, Mike?
All right, I think...
Better time and money.
any more comments on...
Oh, I bet.
Myself.
On the wayfinding map?
She would like a copy of that for the reason.
That way I can talk with Chuck.
Want a copy of right now?
All right. Sure.
I could throw in the phone machine a copy.
Thank you.
So we will move on to tsunami signage. And Tony and Tim did an inventory, I think, or went out and picked out sites for the tsunami signs. No?
That's on that.
That's where I want to pick up this little eyes. And I think it's when I talked to Tim about this.
What do you dirty dog?
He has good ears, doesn't he?
I don't know if he was talking to you and copying.
I could, you know, yeah, it could be the one. that we may have kind of gotten wires crossed a little bit. I think this started with some discussion that came from the Dagami meetings about possible interpretive signage, is the, you know, the terminology that I think of in terms of they were talking. They called them the beach access signs, which I think meant that they were looking at those as being things you would put at beach accesses.
Almost like a kiosk.
And let me see if I have, I mean, basically the picture that I have, which was attached to one of the emails in the group, is essentially, here it is. It's essentially a close-up of a piece of the what comes right out of the brochures. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what they were referring to there was that you could take actually any or all of the maps out of the tsunami maps out of the brochures, and because those are all downloadable, and use them as interpretive signage in particular areas. And I identified there what I would suggest is locations if you were looking at doing that kind of signage.
Oh, okay.
Where you would want to put it.
So a question on that, you know, looking down at from the 10,000 foot level,
yeah,
there's a long distance between these two.
Right.
Just, you know, an awful lot of the areas of higher relief here in the north, is that kind of how bad is it up that way?
Are you talking about between I Beach and Aga Beach?
Yeah.
Well, see, a lot of that's not even in the inundation zone.
That's what I'm saying. It's not elevated.
Exactly.
There's really no reason for them to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Those are particular beach accesses.
Yeah.
You know, the one that we probably skipped over was Aga Beach Wayside.
Yeah,
that's
where they should be.
Which is, would require
state parks.
And then the other thing I wanted to offer, I'm so glad that this is going on. There's nothing like your own personal experience. We just got back from 2 weeks on Oahu, and you're driving all over the place, you know, and they've got the sirens, okay? So everybody who lives there knows all about that. But there is absolutely no information on what a tourist is supposed to do. And it just really hit home hard, having been involved with this group, that I'm sitting there with just this kind of little uneasy feeling that, especially if you're somebody who tends to poke around like we do, you experience the fact that any number of roads that look like they're going to take you to higher ground just dead end in the brush someplace. I mean, there was Zippo. Now, my older son claimed that he saw a couple of signs when we were in the Honolulu area for a couple of days. But as a general experience, driving all over the island, there's absolutely nothing. And it's really, you know, it's really kind of like just sort of that sense of, I don't know, safety or something that we're giving to our visitors by having that information out and available. It really just kind of hit home on how important that is, you know, because it took a few days to get used to the fact that, you know, something could happen and I have no idea what I was supposed to do or where I'm supposed to go. You know, this is like here. I mean, there's typically like one road that everyone has to get onto, and that's it. So
could we just back up now? Are we taking this on because we're required to take it on, or are we taking it on because we think it's wise to do so?
There's no requirements to do any tsunami signage to speak of.
Okay.
Which is kind of why I led into this with what I said. It was just an interesting experience to be with as the actual, you know, sort of consumer of the information as opposed to the provider.
And I know Mike's going to hate my saying this, but this is not something I would expect the Wayfinding Sign Committee to fund. We're just looking for feedback from that. We would manufacture these signs on our own accord with our own budget. Sorry, Mike.
You didn't bother me a bit.
This is something that if you didn't exist, we'd still go down this road and do anyway.
Yeah.
But this is the appropriate group to talk about this with.
So then could you discuss some standards as to why these six choices?
Lots of people.
Lots of people.
Yeah, they're in the main congested areas.
It's the areas that in Newport are within the tsunami inundation area, and it's the areas in Newport that see lots of pedestrian traffic.
And I think we had this discussion probably in June-ish, because I remember talking about where they should go on the bayfront because there's a couple of dead-end streets, right?
Right.
And so we wanted to highlight...
I want to clarify that. We're not talking about tsunami evacuation signs.
This is information.
Like arrows go this way.
Right.
Tsunami evacuation route signs. This is interpretive signs. Uh-huh. So it basically it's giving
just
you information about being in a tsunami inundation area, evacuation routes in general...
Right.
What that means, you know, that's what these are.
Okay.
The actual signs that you see that say tsunami evacuation route, that's not really a topic of discussion for this group. Tony and Mike and I have met on that. That's in hand. We're going to work on that and make sure that that's done appropriately.
Okay.
This is interpretation signage. This is different.
Okay.
You know, if you go to South Beach, you'll be able to see, just walk that interpretive trail, and you'll see all these various signs. That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
Something educational
so
that people understand what those other signs are,
what
the evacuation signs are.
Yeah, because a visitor that sees a tsunami evacuation sign, it says tsunami route and a blue arrow, okay, honestly, it's pretty, you figure it out. You know, this great big wave coming, and you see an arrow pointing this way, I'd run that way.
Right.
But that's all they know, and that's probably not enough to know.
So is this all oriented to pedestrian?
Yeah, you'd never be able to communicate with a motor vehicle.
Yeah, it's way too much information for
them. Now, the evacuation route signs, sure, do. You know, they drive that way. You know, they're on the corners of roads, so, you know, that's the route that people leave. But this is to tell you, you know, in a near tsunami where you feel shaking in the ground, you know, immediately evacuate. You might have 10 minutes if you're in South Beach, just, you know, kiss your ass goodbye stuff. It's giving them information that they need to know so that they can respond appropriately. Because an arrow is not enough information.
Yeah. How can you evacuate if the ground is shaking and there's aftershocks and the roads are completely, like, there are no roads?
You know, the thing is, and I don't want to get into the weeds here on that, but I have literally sat down and watched hours and hours and hours and hours of videotapes of all of the stuff that happened in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And those people were able to walk during the shaking.
Really?
Yeah, and you know, this they're preaching right now, drop, cover, and hold.
Yeah.
Not in a tsunami zone. Get the heck out. That's what we're preaching.
Okay.
You know, because you will be able to walk. You will, there might be things falling around you or whatever, but that's the stuff, that's where your, you know, earthquake mitigation plan comes in for your businesses and stuff like that. You know, take your cabinets, stuff like that, lock them against the wall, you know, secure them against the wall and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we want you to get out of the inundation zone as fast as possible.
Okay.
Just to, you know, to clarify a little bit these locations, because it may not, on this scale, it may not be that clear. But if you're a Google Earth user, I can send you the file, and you can look at precisely where, you know, so the ones on the bayfront, for example, those are at all of the public piers, the Bay Street Pier, the Abbey Street Pier, what I call the East Street Pier at the end of the boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
There are places where we've made for people to walk and get out and look at the ocean, and it seems like a good place to say, if the ocean should start doing funny things, this is what you want to do.
Can I ask a clarifying question on that? So there's the Abbey Street Pier. Do you actually have it on the pier, or is it across the street where the bathrooms are?
I actually located it on the pier.
Okay.
Just in my mind, I was picturing looking out at the water and looking over here at.
And the reason I asked that is that if there's going to pick a spot where most people congregate, it's standing waiting for those bathrooms.
probably right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have in South Beach, it's right at the end of OSU Drive. Mm-hmm.
In South Beach, mm-hmm. Would there be any benefit to adding this sign to the trail under the bridge, or there's already enough information?
That's all signed. Walk
yeah.
that sometime. It's really neat. I mean,
yeah, I've been
get a lot of good information just walking down.
Yeah. It'll be a tsunami event, and everybody will be gathered around the signs, and they'll all get wiped out.
Yeah.
What do I do?
Just wait, run, don't read this.
Yeah. So they have the diamonds yeah. turn around.
If you're just ground shaking and you just start reading this, it's too late.
I think those are great areas.
You know, so that you know.
Great areas.
Okay, so I don't think we don't need to take any action then.
Unless you have some huge heartache with the locations we're proposing, I think that we'll probably go ahead and just do the install.
Well, you've got in front of Mariner Square there, mm-hmm. Bob Ward and I forget what the group is that put that piece of dock there. They've done a really nice job with information on the Japanese disaster and, mm-hmm. and then a map. And so you're not putting anything near there. Are you considering that one covered?
I consider that covered. Wasn't in my...
Right. No, they did a really good job of that. I was really impressed when I went over there and saw that. That was sweet.
Okay. One of these days I need to stop and look at it. There's tons of people every morning when I drive through there. There's always someone standing there looking at it. I haven't done it yet. But it's pretty cool.
Well, thank you, Tim and Tony, for bringing these. I think it's a great program to get going. Be really helpful.
I had a comment about the signage as far as evacuation routes. The one in South Beach leads you up to the highway, and turning right on it leads you to the right hand to the bridge, and that is not the route you want.
That's the way it went. Unfortunately, that's just because there's no way we could leave. People do not go that back route where the stairs are and go up that. Now, all those people, that's why we do our educational piece when we do our evacuation training over there.
Where are people going to go when they get to the highway?
They better go right across the highway.
Yeah. The highway will not be moving.
Okay, well, you've got people. My question is, why isn't it just following Hatfield Drive to the evacuation point?
Because you're going underneath the bridge.
Yeah, you don't want to go underneath the bridge. Okay. Not during
the route. So the route takes you so you're not underneath the bridge.
Okay, once you get up to the top of that road, it doesn't tell you where to go.
We know that.
Yeah, you have to look left, and you are going to have people who are going to be trying to drive their car.
That's the
biggest
issue.
And there is a median there, so they cannot go across that median.
And so the thing is what we're really hoping on, actually it's not hoping, this is what's going to happen, is that as soon as that starts happening, we have people that are well aware of the route from the all the aquarium, mm-hmm. from the Marine Hatfield Science Center, NOAA, all these people have done this so many times that the majority of people are going to pick up with those people because it's going to be a huge crowd. We had 200, almost 300 people last year do this, and we're getting ready to do it in October again. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be...
The Safe Haven Health Project is imminent.
Yeah.
And it deals with those science issues.
Okay.
It deals with those.
Mm-hmm. One of my employees,
I don't want to do anything now because we just end up changing it.
One of my employees worked at the aquarium, mm-hmm. and many people say, why do you go to Safe Haven? Why do you pick that spot? And she said, because you can't get any place else fast enough.
Right.
Because they did many drills from the aquarium going to the community college, and you cannot make it in time.
Yep.
And I don't know if that has really been publicized when you're
it
doing...
Has.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt to say it again. If you're going to do an article,
it's pretty common. I mean, the thing is
people
that
still
all
ask,
those routes have been discussed many times based on how quickly you can get from one point to the other.
We have people, though, who are new to the community who will read the articles in the paper, and they're going to wonder, why do you put people right there next to the bay on a hill instead of moving them away from the water? When you talk about the drills and the practice drills, if you can just reinforce the fact that that's the reason you're going to Safe Haven Hill.
But see, we do it. It's a two-fold thing here, because what we did is last time we sent people to both areas, mm-hmm. and actually people were pretty successful getting there. Now this estimate of 15 minutes, 12 minutes, 20 minutes, That's just a guess. I mean, I've had that with these geologists.
If they're not pushing a wheelchair or, you know, a stroller, and that's how the aquarium...
You've added a whole other factor.
Well, that was how they did their test, though. They said you cannot get to the community college in time if you're trying to assist anyone. That's why Safe Haven Hill
is a place to go. That's why you don't assist anyone. I'm sorry to say that, but...
Yeah.
No, seriously, it is. You can't... It's like us, okay?
If police officers
go there and get right in the thick of stuff...
Yeah, but we're talking about people leaving the aquarium and helping their own family members get where they want to go.
And the evacuation route is what it is.
Sure, but is there a reason not to explain why we don't go to the community?
I'm going to be a little defensive.
Yeah.
There's been a ridiculous amount of articles that have been done on tsunami evacuation routes in this town in the last year, and they will probably continue to be put out, mm-hmm. and that information voiced consistently. The responsibility really falls on the aquarium to educate the people in the aquarium and what to do.
And I just use that as an example. Yeah. I'm talking to the people who do not know why we've made these decisions. We have a lot of visitors who read the paper. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of employees who read the paper who are totally unfamiliar with the decisions that have been made and why they've been made. And you have to tell people more, and you can't just tell them once or twice or three times. You have to keep reinforcing it. And if you're doing an information article, maybe just throw in there that, you know, people wonder why we don't go to the community college. You can't make it in time. Just one little line.
I think that's a myth.
It is.
Because myself, I've walked both routes.
Oh, so you're saying that go ahead and go to the community college.
I would.
If I was at the aquarium, I'd go to the college.
Right.
I'm not going to stand in somebody else.
Is there a route?
Their plan is from the aquarium, I thought the route
was only Safe Haven Hill.
Was over there, I would go to the community college.
Is it marked as a tsunami escape route?
Yes, okay. It is.
Then I didn't realize that.
And as a matter of fact, we're improving, what is that road there?
Ash Street.
I did not realize that.
It's going to be really nice.
It's a challenge because you don't want to tell somebody, okay, you're at the aquarium, you go to Safe Haven Hill.
I thought it was only marked to Safe Haven Hill. I didn't realize
it
was marked.
And what it is, you establish
that's my
routes,
misunderstanding.
And you give basic information at the quickest location to Safe Haven Hill from the aquarium, which is true.
Mm-hmm. And for those that are moving slower.
The quickest location from anywhere there south is the college.
Yeah, I haven't been to the aquarium and
I'm an able-bodied person. Yeah. If I'm at the aquarium, I'm going to the college because they have water, they have bathrooms, they have, you know.
If I'm at NOAA, I'm going there.
Yeah.
Yeah, do they have... Okay, from the aquarium, do they mark both routes or do they mark only the one to the college? Because people are going to follow the sign.
You don't mark two routes on one route. If you're on Marine Science Drive, it takes you to Safe Haven Hill.
All right, so only if you have knowledge and you're at the aquarium and you follow the crowd.
Yeah. Well, doesn't it?
The idea is if you land on a road somewhere, it takes you someplace safe.
Okay. Like Tim said, you know, about the aquarium's responsibility, so that every business owner, I mean, you can't help people if they just happen to be driving there, but every business should have an idea where to send people, you know, immediately.
And
you know.
You have many of those signs already in place, the evacuation signs?
Almost all of them in South Beach. South Beach is really well done.
And is there a map that lets us know what those are? Or is
that tsunami evacuation.
Yeah,
and it's on our big maps?
Not on our maps. They're not on the wayfinding map.
Yeah, just go to the GAMI site. Just go to our website.
Are they on those maps that we have from Newport South?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And
good. And I need some for.
Could I have one of those, Tim?
Because the north.
I wanted to.
The north.
I thought that I need them.
There's one for each.
The north one wasn't available
just
right away because you had
a whole
to
bunch of
stamp.
I
want a bunch.
Well, I think this is a really important discussion that could go on lots longer, but in terms of the Wayfinding Committee, we need to move on to our next agenda item. So in the tsunami signage showing placement, sign placements, I think we covered that.
Yeah.
So we will move on to the hallmark and easement. And Tony, you're welcome to stay, but anyway, don't.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, if you need to go, I think.
That's a way of asking you to leave.
Yeah.
No.
Thanks, but no thanks.
All right. Take care.
I know. Go write some tickets for us, bud.
Yeah.
Actually, Nye Beach is labeled wrong on this map.
Could you get some of those maps to show us? Because the north one is a hard one to get.
It has the Nye Beach turnaround, and the way south by the hallmark, it says Nye Beach. I mean, I don't know.
That's a Nine Beach district in general.
I wasn't on that.
I mean, you got to remember, this is from Beltown. I mean, they're not local. We sat with them and made edits to this map ad nauseum, and it's pretty accurate. So, you know, think about it from the perspective of a tourist. It does the job.
Good. Okay. Staff report on Hallmark and easement, and Linda's coming back. So
I will mention for myself. These were not available when they did the training at the courthouse.
No, they were.
They only had south.
Only recently were published.
Yeah, and I have been in a couple times to get them, and they were not available.
But they've been downloadable since January.
Well, I've downloaded them, but they're not a very good copy. So we're required.
Oh.
It's not as pretty as glossy.
Oh, it's not glossy? Well,
yeah.
It depends on what you print it on.
Well, I'm, hey, we're required by vacation rental code to have this on our vacation rentals. Yeah. And this one was not available in a nice copy because it had to be stamped.
Only until
June or
July is when they finally got the hard copies available.
It was really hard to get them because I've been here twice to get them. Hey, you took my map.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the easement at the Hallmark, and I believe Bob did a lot of research on that. And you probably got it in the email, but
it was very interesting reading.
So I got the agreement to provide easements, and according to Peggy, this also includes the easement itself, which I suspect is all this notarized stuff.
They had a bit of sticker.
And then I went out and took some photos. So I'll just kind of familiarize. This is the street view of the beach access. If you can figure out there's beach access, that's better than I could do. This is the view from the parking lot down to the beach access. Still couldn't figure out there was beach access.
See, I knew they were current photos.
Luckily, these guys were working over here. So I went and asked the guy, I said, where's the beach access? He says, oh, it's down there. Now, there's a big vacation rental right here, which I assumed this was all theirs.
Yeah.
So you would have no idea that there was beach access. Mm-hmm.
Down that little path, right?
Down that little path right there. And when you get there, and I don't know if you've all have ever gone down there.
Mm-hmm. Walked it, but I've seen it.
Okay. When you get down there, it's actually a pretty formidable staircase down there. It's really well built, but I would think twice if it was me going down there because it's a long way back up.
So is that...
Having said that...
By your left hand there, is that Georgie's?
Mm-hmm. This is Georgie's, they were doing some maintenance. This is the south of Georgie's.
Mm-hmm. And this is a big... We have an easement now, right?
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Mike brought in this fellow, which shows it. So when you were talking about the issue of signage, there isn't any, really.
Right.
This was the public parking, which they had originally marked along this fence as public parking. There was a pile of signs sitting here that somebody had taken down that said public parking.
Those were up until about probably a year ago.
John Johnston went back and put them back up.
I noticed they were up.
He said, I'll go put those up for you.
Are they readable?
Well,
yes.
They're
fadable but readable. The parking lot itself... is pretty scuzzy. There's, I don't know if this is an abandoned parking lot or apartment back here. So I referred a lot of this to Dustin Kittle.
Mm.
See, I'm this still was where exactly? So if I'm looking at the state park and Georgie's is on my right hand side, it's just on the left, it's the gravel.
Yeah, if you're here where the driveway is, go down to this beach access right across the street.
Okay. It's got dumpsters.
In the agreement, it referenced that they were supposed to pave that as well.
It does.
Don't
and I'm going to leave that up here.
I know, it's pretty extensive agreement.
Which would make it look a little less scuzzy.
It would.
Apparently what's happening now, and I can't remember who I heard this from, but Georgie's and Hallmark has their staff park there.
Oh.
Now the whole parking lot is not the easement. It's just that part against the fence.
Right.
Is my understanding, but not an authority on
it. But it all used to be right of way at one point, right?
It was Julio Street. It was an actual street.
And not the parking area, but...
where the easement is.
You actually have two easements. The old Julio Street and the old Connor Street. Connor Street, the old right-of-way, goes right through the middle of Hallmark.
Yeah, Julio Street is the one we're talking about
here.
And so
let me ask a clarifying question then.
Mm-hmm.
As part of the condition of vacating the right-of-way, they were required to pay the parking lot.
Yeah. You know, if a fellow was an attorney, what it says is...
Yeah, it doesn't say pay.
Owner shall... let's see. Where does it have to pay? It's if they do any improvements, which they're avoiding doing, as you can see by this. This is a cardboard crusher, which I asked Dustin. I said, could you go see what's going on with this? Because is this like an attractive nuisance or something, besides just looking terrible? It really looks bad down there. If I was a tourist driving along, I'd be going, what is this?
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that Hallmark right across the street isn't going, this looks bad for us. You know, it just, would you want your kid in there?
I got to tell you that improvements are kind of universally known as building a building, which by just our own building code would require them to pay for parking lot.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the thing where it talks about the paving here. But it does say...
Well, they were required to put in the initial access, too, which is an improvement.
It shall be the responsibility of the owner, that's Hallmark, to construct and pave the parking lot area as part of any development of the property. So I have no idea really what that means.
That's unenforceable.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what that
is. Poorly written.
But which property? I mean, they did develop the property across the street, which is their property.
I think that's what Tim's talking about. It's like, yeah. What does that mean? The property.
No, and it's no different than in Nye Beach. Now, I was required to pave my parking lot, but Panache was not. They only had to pave their handicap spot. If you look, their whole lot is gravel except for the handicap spot. Because it was already a commercial use as a beauty salon, and whoever, at that time, they were not forced to pave the lot. Now you have to pave your lot, even if you only have, I think, one parking spot. It has to be paved.
Hmm.
Is the parking lot or where the cardboard crusher is that Georgie's property, or is that...
Is their property, and this is the easement, is my understanding, is this... This is where the public parking is.
Because
now, when you're on the street, you would never know that. There's no sign that says public parking. The signs that were on here were the same color as the fence. You know.
So we put up the public
The city
parking
can
signs.
Put the signs up and can and put the
But they aren't really official-looking public parking. Well, they're kind of funky.
The same ones that you put at Nye Beach.
Halfway serious here. And then when they continue to send their employees over there, and we leave tickets on their windows for parking in a public parking area.
Well, they can park there. Employees can park there.
Yeah, public parking.
Yeah. Unless it's timed. It's no different than Nye Beach.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. It's not posted as any
And it's
time.
Only 10 spots out of that entire parking lot.
There are really more.
I can just about guarantee if Jeff Pridgen had a ticket come in on this, he'd throw it out so fast. Yeah. Nobody would ever come back.
We should try it.
Well, I mean, it's one of those subtle things where it's pretty clear the intent of the original agreement has not... fully executed on.
If all we have to do is put up our new signs, the parking sign going one way and the public beach access going the other.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you think you're going to get Georgie's to do something on your behalf, there's no way.
No, we the city
puts
them up.
Yeah, so we'd have to go and do the signs.
Just like we've done in Nye Beach.
Yeah, we can't put signs on. I mean, we can't really put signs on their property. But if we put a sign,
it is an easement, isn't it?
It's an easement where we would require them to maintain. Well, there is. I mean, there is public access. What I'm suggesting is we put a sign at Elizabeth Street that says that there's beach access this way. Then I think it becomes in their interest to tell them where it is.
So they don't go looking for it.
So they don't wander all over the complex.
Which is exactly what you would do if you start walking down there. There's a stone path that goes off towards an area where they have for fireplaces and stuff, so you could easily just become another hotel.
Can we just put another sign with an up arrow that says beach?
Yeah.
That's further down the path.
I was sort of thinking if we had one of our beach access signs.
I was going to ask Mike.
Right away.
Yeah.
And then
if you can put something on a utility
at some
pole.
Point, you
cannot put them on utility poles.
Parking signs to say public parking for beach access or something, so that tourist knows it's a place where they should park. Use that access.
Yeah.
Well, you put public parking the one direction and you put beach access the other.
Yep.
And a wayfinding map. I've thought it'd be nice to have one of our new wayfinding maps there too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would.
That'd be kind of nice. Nice.
They have to vote on that in the wayfinding.
I know. Gotta wait. Wait, we
so
still have a quorum.
Does Hallmark know that we're talking about this?
Not that I know of.
I talked to Rick Rayborn about a year ago and told him, and his main comment was, I don't want people abandoning their vehicles there. It's why he didn't want it marked public parking.
Yeah, but we have ordinances that
I know. Right, I agree. So, yeah,
I should say invite him to the next wayfinding meeting.
That's a good idea.
A good comment. And then
I don't think people abandon their vehicles care if it's public parking or not.
Right.
They abandon it.
It would be good for him to see how much research we're doing. And
it would be really good. That's, yeah. But, Bob, can you invite him to the next meeting?
Sure. What's his
name? Rick Rayborn.
R-I-C.
The other thing is, and I only had a chance to read it quickly. I thought there was a reference in there.
O-U-R-N.
They didn't maintain the parking lot.
Okay.
Some kind of standard, and again, it might not be enforceable.
I don't think
the city would have to be doing that and charging them for the work.
They're not wrong.
Well, I know.
Well, let's separate the two issues here. We got a number of issues going on here. So there's the parking lot, which we're going to set aside. We'll talk to the Hallmark about that. Then there's the actual signage for the beach, which... You know, I could care less what the Hallmark thinks, honestly. I think we need to have a sign out on the road that says beach access.
Yep.
Not a problem.
Yep.
And actually, can you put one further down the path of the beach?
You can't.
As you walk down that path, you'll see exactly what we're talking about. As you get down it further, it kind of splits off and goes all these different directions.
And you don't know which way.
We really need one right at the top of the stairs that says beach this way.
Mm-hmm. And
there's this beach sign with an up arrow.
If Rick is here, I would imagine it would agree to that. Would want that so people aren't wandering all over his complex.
Well, if it's on the right of way, it doesn't matter whether he wants it or not.
Well,
I mean, it's
not a right of way.
It's an easement.
Well,
we have an access easement. In our code, they're treated the same.
We should maybe have a motion.
Okay.
To separate the inviting him for what, if in fact what Tim says is true, that we don't have to get his permission. So the question is, should we post the sign before the next wayfinding committee meeting?
I would do the beach access one for sure.
Yeah, that's... So I think maybe we should have a motion and discuss that.
Okay.
So that, like he said, we need to separate the two issues.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Good. Would you like to make a motion?
I would.
Okay.
And as I understand it... based on what Tim said, you're talking about two signs, right? One at the street.
I'll talk to Mike about it and something further down. For sure, one at the street.
One at the street, and then one at the point at which we have to decide whether it's public or private.
Well, we certainly have a public access easement there.
Right. But the point where
if there was one when you're walking through the parking lot as you're going up to Georgie's, and you could see it to the left because the way that they have that, it looks like it's restaurant space.
Yes, it does.
So if there was one over there on that easement section, because it's an easement all the way along the building, though, right?
Yeah. Through their parking lot, it's on the other side of the building.
No, it's on the left-hand side, but as you're walking...
It is from Elizabeth Street to the beach.
Right, I know that, but not through the parking lot, literally on the back side of that.
Right.
On the fence, though, that's from... So there's a photo...
So on the one side is the rental property, and the other side is Georgie's. The access goes in between the two.
Correct. And so if you had one that was halfway through the building, so that as a person was walking up, you could actually see that that was where you were supposed to go to get to the beach.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Now, it would be very, very clear.
On their behalf, and again, having experienced what the outreach tourist is like, I could see their side of the coin that, you know, the available public spaces fell up. And then the average tourist starts filling up their parking lot just to go to the beach.
I can just about guarantee that it's not going to fill up, because if you look at that staircase, you're going to...
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that's going to be perhaps their view. And, you know, I think we should be willing to agree that, you know, that's not the intent. We're simply trying to provide the access that's there. I was thinking one approach was you go ahead and you put up the sign, right? You invite them to this meeting and you say... You know, the wayfinding committee has discovered that wasn't marked, and we're trying to provide as much beach access as possible. And oh, by the way, let's have a discussion about what this parking lot looks like. You know, because again, in one experience that I had traveling to get to a place we wanted to go to the beach, it was highly private, kind of one of those areas where when you drive in, you're not really sure that you should be there. And we got to the end of the street, and there was clearly no parking except for what you would assume was a private person's right to park in front of their house. And then as we came back the other way, we realized that they use these orange triangles to mark public access. And then there was this little cutout, gravel, that had room for about four cars. Mm. So all of a sudden it became really obvious that, oh, I as a tourist can park in this parking lot, just like what somebody said, one sign one way the other way. The parking wasn't marked, but it was so obvious at that point that it was specifically put in there, you know, for the public access. And you got to kind of think like a tourist, you know, or I should say consider a tourist. There's plenty of tourists that will just park on your front lawn if they need to. But that made the difference, being able to know that, okay, here's the public access. In our case, a sign that says beach this way. And here's a parking space that it's pretty obvious that was put in here for us. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's
I think the point
is we already have those.
These parking spaces are not obvious.
And that's what I'm saying.
And we don't want to mark it as public parking yet until we talk to Hallmark.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's already marked.
We go ahead with the beach access. We invite them here. The main point of discussion is trying to clean up that parking area.
Okay, and that's Frank's motion.
I want to play the devil's advocate, and that is, would it be a friendlier approach to ask to discuss with them the placement of the signs that we're going to put up?
Not on the street.
I mean, would it be any different after we met with him than before we met with him?
The beach access is where the beach access is.
Right.
Potentially, if we put a sign actually on the easement itself,
we don't need to do that right now.
But on the street, that sign's not going anywhere else except on the street pointing to where the actual beach access is.
Is the sign considered a permanent structure?
No. No, it's not in the code. That's not
okay. Because here it says that you cannot have a permanent structure within the easement. The city cannot.
We're talking buildings.
Okay, so you could put a sign then.
Yeah, there's already signs there.
So with regard to our motion, then, are you prepared to do, you know exactly what you will do?
pretty nearly exactly. And now, I never know exactly until I start digging.
So one thing I thought about looking at when I was there is I wonder if it might be good to have something on the sign that there's absolutely no disabled access. And you wouldn't know it until you went down there, through the bushes, and then bang, here's this staircase.
It's the same thing, though, at Don Davis Park. There's no disabled access. You take your life in your hand when you use that beach access.
Well, no, there's a slope path there.
Until you hit the rock and the sand. And then it's very difficult, even for an able-bodied person to.
Of course, I suppose, you know, there's always the possibility that somebody would want to wheel down to as far as they can go in their wheelchair and just overlook the ocean.
Yeah, true.
From
it's a nice overlook.
Perspective, if you mark it no handicap access, you are going to get yourself in loads of hurt because basically ADA's principle is that if you provide access for an able-bodied person, you should be able to provide access for a disabled person.
That require an elevator.
So now we have to install an elevator.
Hallmark, we'll tell Hallmark they have. That's what we'll tell Rick at the next meeting. You're installing an elevator.
And it does say you already maintain the stairway.
That's a good way to do it. I would not even broach it.
Yeah. Okay, so
before we vote, then what is the point? I think I know what the point is, but I want someone else to say. What's the point of inviting him next month? What will we talk with him about?
The parking lot.
Okay. So that's
And if he would like to have a beach access, are you going to put a beach access farther down towards the stairway also on in the easement?
Not at this time. Not until
okay,
we
we'll talk to him about that.
Right.
Okay. You'll just be on the street.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so that is a motion to...
We have a motion, so I think you can call for the vote, I think.
Okay, motion for Mike to put up
beach
access signs.
How about motion to request from Public Works a beach access sign?
I have a motion to request from Public Works beach access sign beach access sign on the Julio Street easement at Hallmark.
Very good.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Sorry, there are some committees that believe they're
there to direct staff. That's why I asked you to phrase it a little slightly better.
None of both more present at this point.
And then we will, Bob will invite Rick Rayborn, or if he wants to send a representative from Hallmark, and we'll talk about the parking lot and certainly any issues he has. In regard to people parking in the Georgie's lot, I'm sure they have a, you know, business, you know, you say only for people using Georgie's. Mm-hmm. But somebody, when I brought that up, somebody said, well, maybe people park there to go to the beach and then they'll eat at Georgie's.
That's probably
maybe
exactly
they'll stay at the Hallmark, you know.
So I'm going to suggest that at least I'll confess that I'm pretty bad about bringing stuff back, and these will be more valuable next month, next meeting rather. So would you mind collecting things for us and bringing them back?
I think it's a good idea, Frank. I'm not going to
possibly give a copy of this to Rick before the meeting.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much for taking care of this pesky, long-standing issue.
This is pretty exciting to see huge resolution on this, though.
Wow, and see all the evidence, all the background work that you need to do. And, okay, so we're done with the Hallmark easement for now. Till next month. New business. I forgot to, well, Frank, you're an official committee member now, right?
Right.
Thank you for joining our committee.
Absolutely.
We really, thank you so much for your input and for participating.
I'd stay, but I have a 10 o'clock.
I do too, but it's next door. So.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. And then in new business, does anyone have some new business?
To you, Frank.
Bye.
Oh, good. I had one thing that I would like to discuss next week, if it doesn't run too long, and that is what signs should come down. You know, we've talked, maybe we could take pictures of them. I don't know, Tim, if that would help you the most when we request that Public Works might be able to help us out.
We need to make a map. I'm going to go back to that again. We had a map that showed a lot of wayfinding signs on it, of the either north part of town or the south part of town. Get yourself a map, mark on there where the existing signage is. And then we can lay it out on the table and we can say, well, this sign says this. You know, I'm going to use an example. There's a Nye Beach sign right outside the parking lot here.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Pointing south. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'd whack that one down in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could put it up somewhere else if we want to. That's easy enough.
Well, and I think having the map back out and re-looking at everything so that we can prioritize. Okay, so now we have a budget. We've already chunked into part of the budget to finish our, you know, the main maps. So if we're wanting to replace signs or anything else, in figuring everything out and prioritizing how many of the extra maps are we going to put up or whatever, it seems to me that we need to look at the larger scope of all the other maps,
and
right?
Or all the other signs. Because we can kind of focus on an area at a time. Okay, we want to make it so that people can get to Nye Beach, as an example. Okay, here's what signs already that are there. Here's some signs that make sense to add, and these should go away because they don't make sense at all.
That's the point I was going to reinforce, is that at an earlier meeting, we talked about setting up a zone-by-zone sort of strategy for this group.
Right.
You know, okay, do all the signs make sense that lead you to this part, Nye Beach, and then does everything make sense to get you to Agate Beach, so on and so forth. And it would be really great if we could kind of chunk through those over the course of the winter.
Uh-huh, that would be.
You know. And presumably have a much better and logical layout for people to get around by next year.
These maps have the plan. I don't know. The problem is that they're very difficult to interpret because
right.
they're
yeah,
really
they
printed.
Are.
So
which map
is that?
I hate to
make myself any more work. But
I think it should be somebody on the committee, not Public Works. We can give you a map and literally go out and mark down where the signs are because they don't follow that exactly anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
we can
even just
it
mark it
zones.
With a number and take a
you
photo
take a
of
copy
it.
Copy these and sort of.
Then we can understand what is where.
Yeah, it would be good if they were numbered.
I really like clunking things.
Yeah.
You know, because you can just start with one and just take a picture of it. Picture one is sign one. You can look at the map and you can see exactly what the sign says and exactly where it's placed and exactly what direction it's pointing.
Well, you know, the one thing taking pictures, too, would give you an overview of the consistency aspect of what the signs look like. You know, if you have a whole series of pictures taken around town, doesn't really necessarily gel in your mind how different they are, but then if you all of a sudden look at them as a series, like a slideshow, you're going like, you know, what do we in 10 different cities? Or?
Well, there are those. There's a period of time where somebody decided it was a good idea to put wayfinding signs to make them look like a street sign.
Right.
You know, there's a bunch of those down on the bayfront, and honestly, I walk right by those without even noticing them. Mm-hmm. And then there's the emblem on the end of the actual street sign, and then there's the actual wayfinding signs themselves, and so there's all this different genre out there.
And that was our wayfinding committee really wanted to get it just standardized, just repeat the same thing, yet consistent. Yeah. So
there's some of that old stuff that we might want to take down.
Yep. And that's what, I know when we were getting the wayfinding committee established, Councillor Busby came up to me afterwards and he said, "Now, are you just in the business of always putting up more signs? Because there's a few signs I know that need to come down." And I agree with him. We're not here to try to get signs everywhere. The fewer the signs, minimal signs is what I would think. So if anything that can come down is less clutter.
Yeah.
So, Tim, could you bring maps for us, the maps you'd like us to use at the next meeting?
Do you want me to give it to somebody beforehand? Because I can print it out up to 48 inches wide. And so it really depends on who happens to be doing this and what scale they want. I can print a map out that looks like anything. They could have an aerial behind it. It can be lines. It can be anything. And so when you decide who's going to do it and how you're going to approach it, you just kind of tell me what you want. Now, you know, the easiest is to do a map similar to what my cast here, not necessarily 8.5 by 11, because that's not really big enough.
Yeah.
You know, if it were me, I'd get myself a big old map of maybe a region, because then you can get some detail in it and read it.
Well, that's what I was wondering, is if we broke it up so that we break up the work and we do them by zone or region.
Yeah.
Or some sort of constructive.
Mm-hmm. Take responsibility for one section.
Yeah.
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 Well, does anybody want to do that today or have it on the agenda for next meeting?
If there's a way for you to do the maps in sections like that, bring them next time and we can take one as an assignment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
that gets me out of the summer mode, gives me a little bit of time before I launch into something else.
Okay, is there committee comments? Public comment? Meeting adjourned. Thank you all for coming, and I look forward to next meeting. Thanks, Bob, thanks so much for.
Sure, you bet.
It's so good to see that all on paper.